This is Cross Currents. I'm Julie Kane, and for Hanat Bhava. A few months ago, the small town of Brisbane made it clear that it was looking to build a huge development that would not include any new housing at all. Well, that didn't go over so well with elected officials in the neighboring city of San Francisco. And San Francisco Supervisor Jane Kim floated the idea of basically annexing part of Brisbane into her city so that San Francisco could make sure that housing got built. See, in the midst of a regional housing shortage, where squeezing new units into San Francisco is a hard-fought battle, suburbs that refuse to build have become scapegoats for the housing affordability crisis. But as you can imagine, the people of Brisbane aren't so into the whole annexation idea. KALW's housing reporter Liza Veal reports.
Brisbane has been dealing with San Francisco's garbage for a long time.
If you live or work in San Francisco, what you threw away yesterday is probably here today. This is in the town of Brisbane, and here garbage is big business and serious business.
This is from a 1965 news story about the dump that's now the site of the proposed development where San Francisco lawmakers want Brisbane to build high-rises. The area is known as the Baylands.
But the people of Brisbane, or at least a large number of them, were not at all happy about the prospect of letting San Francisco continue to dump its garbage at their front door.
And now that the owner of the Baylands finally wants to develop the land, the people of Brisbane are not at all happy about San Franciscans coming to their city council meetings to tell them what to do. Like this citizen, Tom Hines.
Tonight you will hear some elegant statements, whining, crying for housing. These folks live in a vacuum with only dollar signs driving their tears. The bullies are thumping their chest. Allow Brisbane residents to speak first.
Brisbane borders San Francisco. It's actually closer than SFO, nestled right into San Bruno Mountain. The Baylands site is less than a mile from a Caltrain stop that can get you to downtown San Francisco in 15 minutes. But to locals like Michelle Salmon, Brisbane's always been a world away.
This is the main drag. When I was a little kid, there was no sidewalks, just these giant gutters that the water would just run down and you had to go to, like, cross where you could or be swallowed up.
Driving around with Salmon, Brisbane feels like a village from a long gone era. The houses were built by hand with scrap wood, cobbled together over time. They look sort of improvised, but colorful and well kept.
We'll swing by, just go up the street where I live, just for fun.
There are only 4,400 residents here. That means if Brisbane built as much housing on the Baylands as San Francisco and other neighbors want it to, the town's population would triple. A lot of what stayed the same about Brisbane for so long, that small town feel, would change.
This gray house is the house I grew up in. My dad built that house. And on this side of the street is the house that my grandmother built.
We drive up San Bruno Mountain, leaving the houses snuggled down below. Salmon tells me her dad was one of Brisbane's founding fathers. The city wasn't officially formed until the 60s.
We campaigned to become a city so that we weren't taken over by urban redevelopment. There was plans to saw off the top of the mountain.
Salmon opposes housing on the Baylands because she doesn't believe the landfill is safe to live on.
All my small town, love the mountain things aside, it's not the right thing to do. It's not the right place for it, and it's not the right use of the land.
Her idea is to create a renewable energy plant on the site. Everybody has their own vision for the Baylands. From the top of the mountain, there's a 360-degree view as far as the eye can see. It's almost all filled in with development. Up here, the Baylands doesn't look so big.
I just want to take in the other side a little bit.
It's pretty cool.
While we're up here.
But for the city's current mayor, Cliff Lentz, there's nothing bigger.
It will be one of those things that will test the character of our community like no other project has.
Mayor Lentz says the Baylands is definitely not getting annexed, but he refuses to take an official position on building housing there. He says he'll decide once he can be sure the site isn't poisonous to live on. It used to be a dump, after all, and a lot of people think there's no way to make it totally safe. But hypothetically, Mayor Lentz likes the idea of building a groundbreakingly sustainable development. He's actually spent a lot of time designing proposals for a sort of eco-village with shared cars, shared gardens, gray water systems.
You would have something that you will not find anywhere, you know, in the western part of the United States, maybe in the whole entire country.
Mayor Lentz knows his town is very divided about the Baylands project. They don't all want to block housing. One of his constituents wrote him a letter recently saying Brisbane should do its part to help with the shortage. In the letter, she quoted former First Lady Rosalind Carter.
And it's really stuck with me. It says, a leader takes people where they want to go, and a great leader takes them where they ought to be. And that is, very inspirational for me.
But how do you inspire a town to do something they don't want to do just for the sake of the rest of the region? Some pro-housing advocates from out of town tried to help make the case to Brisbane at a city council meeting in September. Sonia Traus was one of them. She's the founder of the Bay Area Renters Federation. She says her group didn't exactly have a productive dialogue with the locals.
We weren't even talking about the project anymore. We were talking about, like, who should say if there's a project.
Traus has advocated for housing in towns all over the Bay Area. Her group is even suing the suburb of Lafayette for failing to meet housing targets set by regional planning agencies. She's made a few enemies. People who think,
basically, you know, we're developer shills and that we're lobbyists and the developers pay at us to be there. Stuff like that.
Well, does that mean that you guys don't get any money from developers?
Barely any.
Less than 1% of the money your group's raised, she says. And the rest comes from other people like her, people who think building more housing will make the area more affordable. But it's an unpopular position.
You know, I'm just wondering sort of like what the human toll is for you.
Thanks for asking. It is. It's crazy. I mean, I think I'm right. And it doesn't bother me that they think I'm wrong. Like, that's natural and normal. Like, I guess I feel like this is something that reasonable people can disagree about. I see why they think what they think.
But pro-growth, pro-density people are not winning the political battle to get the suburbs to build. Communities keep finding ways to oppose housing. And there are three basic kinds of objections.
The most often that I see are there's traffic, there's neighborhood character, and there are environmental issues.
Seamus Roller is a tenants' rights organizer, and he works on housing and homelessness policy at a state level. He's not gung-ho about all development everywhere. He says there are other tools lawmakers can use to make housing affordable besides just build, build, build. But when it comes to unused land like the Baylands, it's an easy call.
There's not enough housing, especially being built in places like Marin, in places in much of Silicon Valley, the Arendas of the world. Like, those places are not building enough housing to meet the demand of this giant city that we're a part of.
Regional planners say the shortage is mostly driven by how many jobs the Bay Area is adding. The reason they want to stop displacement is because they say it's important to keep people who are poor from getting pushed away from the city centers. That's where all the opportunities and resources are. Also,
that putting people near where their jobs are is one of the most environmentally impactful things that you can do as far as climate change.
But places like Brisbane don't necessarily see long commutes and high rents as their problem. So it's hard for lawmakers to ask them to help big cities improve those things. What do they get out of it? That's what some regional planners are asking themselves. Some say we need to form something like an EU of the Bay Area that can either force places to build or offer something in return.
Over there you can see Sweeney Ridge and Pacifica. And out here you can see where Point Reyes is up there?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that amazing?
It's hard to see what would make it worth it to people like Michelle Salmon. She is well aware of the arguments for density development, but she's going to keep pushing for a renewable energy plant on the Baylands. Her anxieties are a lot bigger than high rises.
4,400 units of housing? That's a drop in the bucket. That's nothing. That's nothing. That will not solve any housing crisis or any energy crisis that we're facing. We are facing a crisis in this country, beyond, in this world, beyond what has ever been imagined. Your future is going to be way different than mine.
Whether housing gets built on the Baylands or just commercial and office space, even if Salmon gets the energy plant, change is coming fast to Brisbane. When her dad died, the city wrote something to commemorate him. She reads from it.
Jesse Salmon was one of Brisbane's five original city council members elected on September 12, 1961. Brisbane would not be the community it is today, with its small town feel, had it not been for people like Jess, who fought hard to protect the city's natural resources, to protect it from the encroachments of the county and the avaricious developers, and to preserve our special community.
Brisbane's not the only town fighting to protect its way of life. Recently, state lawmakers tried to pass legislation that streamlines development by overriding local community input. It hasn't happened yet, but don't expect the fight to go away. In Brisbane, I'm Liza Veal for Cross Currents.